I have confirmation recordings on.
We can see that too, Dan. I never realized that before. We should have been helping you with that.
Feel free. Oh, here we go.
The record is on.
Yep. Yeah, they keep Great. Adding little features. Here's Mr. Richardson.
So is Buzz really here?
Maybe having a little technical difficulty. No, Buzz, it looks like Buzz is in, just still muted and no video. Somebody should make some noise just so people can tell.
What was that, Dan?
Maybe we should make some noise just so people can tell if they've got on.
Right.
Does Buzz know his sound might be off?
He's no longer muted. His sound is.
We just don't have his video.
Right.
So Buzz, say something.
Oh.
Are you here?
They're talking to you.
Yeah, I am, but I'm going to text Dan. You can't hear me.
Yeah, I can.
We can hear you now, Buzz.
All right. I'm in Newport. We'll be home in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Well, then we should get started. It's 2:05. I'd like to call the Otter Rock Water District Special Information Meeting to order. It's February 8th, 2021. And we have board members present, Gleason, Anderson, Bakkenstow, Elliker, Commissioner Hall could not make it today. And we have a number of others present. We have a main guest is Anna Pham. Did I say that right? Deputy State Hazard Mitigation Officer with the State of Oregon. So this is an informational meeting we're holding to investigate grant possibilities. Our aging infrastructure needs updating and replacing. A couple areas that may qualify for grant funds through this program would be our firefighting capabilities and earthquake resilience. And with that, we have questions. Who wants to start with the questions? Or does anyone have anything they want to add to a needed introduction?
So real quick, I'll just introduce myself. My name is Stephen Richardson. I'm the Mitigation and Individual Assistance Section Manager with the Oregon Office of Emergency Management. So I supervise Anna Feigham's position and Joseph Murray, who's our Deputy Director for Individual Assistance.
Okay, great. Thanks. And we have Tim and Kevin from Civil West here, and then some of our public customers are here.
Do you want to say anything about public comment?
We aren't anticipating having any public comment since this is an informational meeting.
Yeah, so this is Anna. I just wanted to say that Patricia had contacted me for information. I don't know a whole lot outside of, she had just briefly written to me in the beginning. So any additional information would be helpful. I did get in contact with my colleagues up at FEMA just for some additional information before this meeting. And I just wanted to make the mention that, and you all might have seen this information, but FEMA would fund improvements to the water system, but they don't fund repairs or replacements. So it's gonna be really important how you phrase what you're doing to be able to get it funded. So it's a little tricky sometimes just to get the right phrasing so that FEMA will approve it. So just wanted to say that. And then I know there are some questions around eligibility. So really the only eligibility criteria is that you as the water district have to either have a national hazard mitigation plan or be included in a national hazard mitigation, a FEMA approved national hazard mitigation plan from the county or the surrounding area. So if you have that, then you're eligible.
This is Tim Gross with Civil West, and I have a further question on that. Okay. So Otter Rock Water District, as well as a lot of the small districts in Lincoln County are not necessarily mentioned by name in the Lincoln County Hazard Mitigation Plan. And yet some of the mitigation strategies addressing wildfires and things like that are sort of general in nature. Is that sufficient?
Stephen, do you know more about that?
Yeah, only because Lincoln County and the Lincoln County School District had to something similar with one of the charter schools. It does have to be a specifically referenced jurisdiction or encompassing jurisdiction. If you think of it like a corporation, you have your parent company and then maybe some sub companies under that. So if there's a clear, distinct, direct comment in there, so maybe it's not water or the Otter Rock Water Board, but it's the specialty water districts within Lincoln County. Okay, so that's an all-encompassing statement that we could say would encompass your water district. But if it's not specifically mentioned in there, then I would talk with Jenny Damaris and see about having that plan or that addendum added to their plan.
So are you talking about a specific hazard mitigation project for wildfires for districts, or simply referencing wildfire mitigation by special districts? Does it have to be a specific project mentioned within the mitigation plan?
The plan, no. The plan is an all-encompassing plan. And then the projects basically go off of, do you have an approved plan or do you not? So the project doesn't have to be mentioned, just are you in the plan?
Because the only organizations that are specifically mentioned are those with appendices in the Lincoln County Hazard Mitigation Plan, where the incorporated communities have their own sections. And then Lincoln mm-hmm. County's plan is somewhat general for the overall larger unincorporated areas. And so if water districts aren't mentioned specifically by name or thereabouts, could the district sub-apply under Lincoln County?
So that's kind of where that school district and the charter school districts in Lincoln County, and I'm not an expert on that. I just saw the email chains kind of going back and forth. That would be a great question to ask Lincoln County is, were we included in that plan? And if not, what do we need to do to have that plan amended? Because a mitigation plan can be amended to add certain things. Something too is like Umatilla, they had the floods and they didn't have a plan. And because they had an extraordinary circumstance, they were able to go through with certain projects related to floods without having a plan. You're not at that level, but I just bring that up to say there are some little wiggle rooms that we can come up with, but I would definitely talk with Lincoln County's emergency management. Are we any water districts mentioned in the plan, and how do we get mentioned into that plan?
But it doesn't necessarily have to mention the type of project that you're going to do, whether it's from seismic mitigation or wildfire mitigation. It's just, hey, they're an organization in our plan, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you don't even know what project you're going to do within the 5 years of that plan or however many years that plan's alive. You could have a wildfire, and all of a sudden your mitigation projects are more specific, either pre- or post-fire, to that fire in and of itself, versus the landslide that the county had over a month ago. And now your project should be more focused on the landslide. So it's impossible to predict what projects are. So that's why they don't need to be mentioned. Just be in the plan, or your agency being in the plan.
So
and if you're, yeah, go ahead.
The plan doesn't have to be approved by FEMA yet, because I mean, that process takes some time. And I know Lincoln County has a revised plan, but that hasn't been blessed by FEMA yet. And so, you know, we're banking on that. Although the plan has been updated and the timeframes identified, FEMA hasn't given it their blessing that the other organizations within Lincoln County that are applying are eligible, because, you know, they followed what they needed to do, even though the federal government hasn't finished their part of it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anna.
No, yeah. And there's a ECE, extraordinary circumstances exception. That's a really hard acronym to remember. That gives you up to a year to get that FEMA approved. So there's that option too. That just needs to be submitted with the sub-application, a letter from you all that'll be approved by the time that gets awarded, the funds get awarded.
I also
want to mention that link, if you're not included in that NHMP, Lincoln County can apply on your behalf. That might take up some of their resources as well, but you can work out some sort of a deal with Lincoln County to apply as a sub applicant on your behalf, and you all become like the sub applicant of those funds.
If that was the case, would Lincoln County then have to be the fiduciary, where they would do the they would submit the quarterly reports and they would submit the receipts for reimbursement, and it would just funnel through as a sub recipient?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a slightly different question. The infrastructure upgrades that would directly impact both our ability to fight a fire and also to some extent our seismic resilience are replacing a reservoir, which would give us increased pressure for firefighting, as well as be more seismic resistant. And also the main distribution line from the reservoir into town, which would increase our fire flow. But that's part of what we need to do, but that's the part that seems to be, would be covered by the sort of a grant. Do we have to have that carved out as a separate project? Can it be a subpart of our larger infrastructure plan? That's not quite clear to me.
So if I understand your question correctly, your entire $3.5 million project or whatever amount that was, that all might not be covered under FEMA, but the part that is, you can apply for those grants for. You can say, hey, we have this project. This part of this project is what we want to get reimbursed by FEMA. So you just have to be very clear about your scope of work and how that's building resilience in your community.
Thanks.
Anna, regarding the deadline for the pre-application. We originally thought it was April, but I have read some things that indicate there may have been an extension applied to that to out to July. Is which one of those ideas is correct?
Yeah, so it depends on which grant you're looking at. So I know that there was a mention of BRIC, and then there's some hazard mitigation grant program. So BRIC is sort of the pre-disaster, is the pre-disaster grant. HMGP, Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, is post. So BRIC is not actually, so it's a yearly program. It's not actually open until the fall. And so that is not open currently for taking in applications. However, because of the last year's wildfires, we do have two HMGP grants open. So we have 5327, which is from the FMAGS last year. And those pre-applications are due on April 15th of this year. And then 4562 is the wildfires in September, the straight line winds. And that pre-application is due July 1st of this year. So each grant has a different deadline based on when the disaster happened.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. We are currently under a chlorination order. We don't know the timeline on that. We have never chlorinated before, except recently, and by hand recently. We don't know when we're going to be required to have that up and running at this point. Is there a way that there could be hazard mitigation qualify for that particular project, even if we might have to build it before, after the pre-approval process, but before an award might be made?
So you cannot start building or like breaking ground on anything before you're awarded the grant. However, you can get pre-award funds, which would allow you to do some of the evaluations or some of the kind of paper logistical stuff to get everything in place so that when you do get awarded the grant money, then you can start on that date.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Are there health hazard mitigation funds available from FEMA? Because that's what
all hazard mitigation. So these, no, grant programs, BRIC and flood mitigation assistance. The BRIC is kind of all encompassing. Flood mitigation is flood mitigation. And then these post-disaster funds are typically tied to the type of disaster that these funds have come out of. However, because of sort of the lack of applications we're getting for these grant cycles, we've opened them up to any disaster. You don't need to be affected by this particular disaster, but you are eligible. So it really just depends on the state's decision on whether we're going to open it up or not. So these two HMGPs that I described are both open for any sort of hazard mitigation activities.
So does bacteriologic contamination of a water supply count?
I don't know. Stephen, do you know?
I would say that'd be pretty hard pressed, because mitigation is always going to be pre or post, not during. And we run into that with like the San Yam Canyon area, with the rivers. Well, they're recovering still from the fire. So we really can't go in there with a mitigation project yet, because they haven't fully recovered to rebuild the shores of the San Yam River or the McKenzie Rivers. So just kind of keep in mind that mitigation is always going to be post, you know, hey, we're preparing. We want to make ourselves more resilient. We're trying to save areas and then post, what do we need to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? So if you can just kind of keep that mindset, that's going to help with your application writing. If FEMA starts seeing things that you're trying to do currently, or there's a current issue going on and you're quote unquote rebuilding, then they're not going to be able to approve that, because that's the lens they're going to view it at.
Yeah, and I feel like if this is a recurring issue and right now you're just getting through it as you've just gotten through it in the past, and you want to, for the future, build the system so that you don't have to continue to do the same thing that you're doing just to put a Band-Aid on this on it, that I feel like if you frame that in that context, that would be, I'm not going to say it will be eligible, but I feel like that would be a better argument than talking about what you're in now, but just talking about the recurring issues and what that could lead to down the road.
Yeah, because that points out a really big thing of a cost analysis, you know, what's it going to cost and what's it going to save you? So if you think of a house, you know, Ann and I just went to a training. If you think of a house that's constantly getting flooded out and you're constantly fixing the road, you're constantly fixing the infrastructure, will you save cost by this grant money to prevent a future bacterial infection or anything like that? And that would be, like Anna's saying, that justification of, yeah, this is something we're going into, but as we're coming out of it, we want to mitigate so we don't go back into it because it's a reoccurring event, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I suspect the timeline we're going to get from Oregon Health Drinking Water Services is going to be too short to be looking for this kind of a grant process.
Yeah, the problem with these grant programs is they do take about 10 to 18 months to get awarded. So if you're on a pretty short timeline, you know, if you can do just sort of bare minimal things to get through or reach the thresholds that OHA wants you to get through, and then be able to apply for this, you know, for a longer term solution, that would work. I mean, that might be just a tiny bit of your project, but think about it maybe in that way. You know, I don't want you to just put a Band-Aid on it, but if you can get funds to help you come up with a more comprehensive solution in the future, I think that'd be maybe a thing to think about.
Thanks. Pat, did you have more questions?
Oh, yes, I do.
I mean, you have Lisa's questions also.
I have a conglomeration of hers and mine. Let's see. It seems like, Anna, that you know pretty much an overview of our circumstances here. Do you see any other programs that we might apply for that have earlier funding dates?
I do not know of any. I mean, we have a couple other grant programs at OEM for preparedness and some other programs, but I don't know enough about them to give you any information whether this would be eligible. Stephen, do you know more, or do you have any thoughts on other grant programs?
The only one that I can think of, and I don't know if it's a grant or a loan program, would be through my previous agency, Business Oregon, and their Safe Drinking Water Program. I believe Melissa Murphy is your regional development officer for Lincoln County.
We've been in contact.
Okay, that's the only other funding source that I know about for water specifically.
Okay.
Does OHA not run a grant program at all for drinking water?
I don't know enough about OHA's programs on water.
And so what is the anticipated timeline for awards again? I got kind of
10 to 18 months from when you submit your sub application. So what the dates I gave you were your pre-application dates. And then sub applications are due a few months after that. I can send you the timeline broken down after this meeting.
Great, thanks.
And the sub application is you would do after you're approved on the pre-application, right?
Yep.
Henceforward.
Yep.
Can I ask a follow-up question on one of my previous ones? Mm-hmm. I was flipping through the Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan for Lincoln County, and it specifically mentions special districts, of which Oregon or which Otter Rock is. It talks about them specifically in the context of seismic upgrades, But as long as they're referenced in the plan, if we want to pursue a mitigation grant for wildfires and seismic upgrades, which would kind of overlap anyway, that would qualify under what Stephen was talking about before. Is that correct?
That's understanding. Go ahead, Stephen.
I was going to say that would be one we would probably run through our FEMA counterparts and go, hey, they're mentioned for seismic. How specific do you want to be? Because they are the ones approving the plans. Do you want them to add something that says just general mitigation projects, period? Or do we? I really don't know how specific they are. I mean, each county's got their own plans. Some are thousands of pages long. Some are a couple hundred. So that would be something we'd probably run up the FEMA flagpole and just try to get guidance from them.
Yeah, because what we have is pretty unique for the Oregon coast in that we burned a few water districts to the ground in the last few months through wildfires. That is not normal, but it basically identified the risk that these small districts have and their susceptibility to wildfire. And so the hazard mitigation plan is focusing on seismic and landslides and heavy winter storms and, you know, it talks about wildfire, but from the context of forest land preservation and not so much that wildfire urban interface, you know, the WUI. You know, they talk a lot about that back east, but, you know, in the county plan here, all of a sudden they're beginning to recognize the impact the wildfires have in these communities. And so it's really very vague within our county plan regarding wildfires because everybody's looking at seismic. Now, if you're upgrading infrastructure in the case of Otter Rock here, because they don't have, you know, fire pressure and they don't have fire flows. And so we want to improve their fire protection through, you know, construction of new infrastructure. Obviously you'd make that to seismic standards as well. So the two sort of go, you know, hand in hand. Would you have a better shot in a pre-application process of talking about upgrading that infrastructure to meet seismic standards and upgrading it to meet wildfire requirements or fire requirements? Or, you know, how would you tailor that so that obviously you'd be complying with what the hazard mitigation plan identified as a priority for small districts, which is upgrading their water infrastructure for seismic. It just also happens to be upgrading it to meet a wildfire risk. And if you'd like me to sell, you know, snake oil for you sometime, let me know.
I mean, honestly, I feel like the more that you can sell it for like a multi-hazard, from a multi-hazard lens, it'll probably be, I don't know, better in the eyes of FEMA. But honestly, as long as it's within the confines that FEMA has made about eligibility, whether it's just talks about wildfires or just talks about seismic retrofitting, I don't think it's gonna matter. It's really just about the wording. And if you can show that it's, you know, not a recovery, not a repair, but it's really to mitigate for future events. I think that's really gonna be the most important part.
Okay.
And Stephen, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
No, I think you covered it. You know, the burden is what that FEMA has to overcome is, will this prevent future disasters and how do we go through that? So the more you can include, I mean, I almost have to think of it almost like a court case, the more you can put in there to justify this is what we are needing to do because Lincoln County suffered a wildfire and because there's so many small districts. And I think FEMA is really recognizing that because again, along the I-5 corridor, you have the McKinsey and the San Yam Canyons. Those are all small communities. Those are people that have one or two people on their payroll. They have very small water systems. Some didn't have any. I mean, I think the city of Gates was all septic. They didn't have any sewers. So there's FEMA's recognizing the diversity of Oregon's demographics that we do have a lot of small communities that aren't going to be quote unquote urban or have that urban infrastructure. So if you can word it of, yeah, we're a small community, and these are things we're needing to do in light of what's happened, I think that would really help kind of get over that hurdle for FEMA.
Yeah, and as Stephen mentioned earlier, I think that benefit cost analysis is really just something to keep in the forefront, is adding in seismic retrofitting, is that going to increase the, or, you know, make it higher, the benefit cost analysis, or is it going to make it lower? I think that is just something to keep in mind, because I know FEMA puts a lot of weight on that aspect.
Yeah, that's something that came to mind just listening to this discussion, is that cost benefit analysis, because we're a relatively small population living in a WUI, in an earthquake zone. It sounds like, though, that small communities still have a chance. And certainly what we'd be applying for would not be the entire cost of the project. It would be that part of the project that could be covered by a FEMA grant. So it sounds like there maybe is a prayer there, even though, like all those other little places, we're a small community. So the cost is divided among a smaller number of households that benefit.
Yeah, and you know, I say go big, you know, I mean, there's like really no harm, because you're gonna submit the pre-application. It's not really that extensive of a pre-application. You submit it to FEMA, they'll give you feedback. You can submit a new pre-application. It's not the end of it. You're not like, you know, we don't say, no, sorry, this isn't eligible. They would say, you know, this part, yes, move forward with this part. This part we're a little unsure about. If you can word it correctly, maybe, you know, so they'll do some of that with you. They want to give you money. They want to help fund, you know, mitigation projects. So there's not really a harm in like putting all those things in your pre-application and then just seeing what they say. A lot of the times, you know, when I'm asking them questions, they say, well, just have them submit a pre-application, then we can review it because we'll have more information, and then we can go from there. So, you know, it's not a one and done. It's sort of a working process with you all.
Anna, can you comment on what would happen if we apply or pre-apply, and before a grant would be funded, we have a massive failure of one of our big parts, our tank, for instance? Would we still be able to use those funds if they hadn't actually been funded before the disaster occurred?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, it'd be my understanding that if you were in the unfortunate situation where something major happened before you awarded, I do not believe that would be eligible. They probably would have to rework some things within the application and within the award process. Stephen, do you have more information about that? And it depends on like, if there's any like PA that becomes available because of it, that you can repair it with other funds that come from the state, but just depends on the level of disaster, Stephen.
Yeah, I think that would be a question that FEMA would have to make. We as the state, you know, FEMA gives us the grants and then we try to work the grants. But if something were to happen where it's going to be a declaration, you know, I would imagine if one of your tanks went out, that's going to be a pretty big quote unquote disaster or emergency for your community. So that may change all the dynamics where it goes from hazard mitigation to public assistance funds. Because you have a declared emergency through the county, something like that. So that would really be a FEMA question. I don't know how they would answer that one, unfortunately. We just kind of get the grants and work with the grant portals to get them out.
Okay, so it wouldn't automatically disqualify the application that would be in process. You might have to tweak it in some way.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I wouldn't think so, just logically, but then again, not knowing FEMA's policies, how that would work, I don't want to give a definite answer.
Okay.
It sounds like if we did, let's say the tank failed, it sounds like there's a possibility of getting some emergency assistance funds from a totally different bucket, but then we'd have to change the FEMA request to cover the larger distribution line to town, which would still help with our fire pre-hazard mitigation.
Yeah, and people are changing their scope of work and their budget and all that stuff continuously, because I think it's really hard to pre-assess how much it's going to cost. You know, even from pre-application to sub-application, people have changes in budget and changes in things. And so we try to work with people and understanding that things happen and, you know, you can't account for everything. So it wouldn't be, you know, we're going to completely disqualify you. We're going to kind of rework what we're working with here.
Yeah, that's the message I'm hearing, is that this process is an ongoing dialogue that adapts over time. Is that correct?
Yep. I mean, that's why I've only been here since the beginning of the year. So that's definitely how I've seen it. And I hear from FEMA the continuous reiteration that they really want to give funds, and they obviously have a lot of funds available for these last disasters. So they want to make sure that, you know, you all are phrasing in a way that you can get funded, and that, you know, they're working with you to make sure that everything's, you know, on track to get there.
Yeah, and I would just add, Dan, that, you know, just the projects that Anna and I have worked with in our short time here, there has been that continual dialogue, because if you're going to be replacing stuff, especially along waterways, what about that environmental or historic preservation piece? What if you come across something and that's going to halt your project? So it is a living project, if you would, that you're probably going to submit different deadline requests. You may or may not meet it. You're going to have to maybe change your scope of work. You found something that's bigger or even smaller. And so, yeah, it is a continuing conversation.
That segues right into my next question, which is a twofer. Is an environmental study necessary before applying for a grant? Or is an environmental study ever needed, as far as you know?
I'm not too sure on the top. Stephen, are you more clear on the timelines and when those are needed, or for what projects?
So I guess I'm stuck on the word study. I know there has to be what they call EHP, environmental historic preservation data, that is what they call front-loaded to the application. Now, I'm still myself trying to get clarification of who does that. Is that the state? Is that FEMA? Because the way the process, the application works, it'll go through the programmatic side of it. They look through it. Then it goes to the financial side of it. They look through it. Then it goes to the EHP, and that environmental historic piece. They look through it. And then they'll usually do what are called RFIs, request for information. Who uploads and, or quote unquote, front loads that EHP information? I'm not sure, because we're still trying to figure that out. I'm not sure if it's the state or if it's something from FEMA. So
there's certain information that FEMA asks as part of your pre-application that is part of that EHP. And, you know, you go and you send them sort of boilerplate stuff, so they have the ability to analyze that and sort of make a determination is the right phrasing for it. But, you know, you might get, an exclusion if all of your work is in a currently developed right-of-way, for example, and there'd be no further environmental analysis necessary. But all of a sudden, if you're blowing through a wetland, now you're in this whole nother league, you know? And so they want to see the maps behind that, and they want to see where your project is located, and so that they can figure that out. And so that's part of that pre-application process and opens up that dialogue on that track, right?
Well, that makes total sense, and thank you for that. Like I said, we had a FEMA call last week, and that was our question. We're like, you guys keep kicking stuff back, going, we need more EHP. What is it you're wanting? You want the Oregon Historical Preservation Society to go out on every application? I'm not quite understanding what you guys are wanting. So thank you for that.
Yeah, Tim, you've probably done some of these, so you're probably a little bit more familiar with the nuts and bolts of these applications. So
Anna and Steve, a question with regards to funding. So you said 10 to 18 months is when funding would be awarded. A couple of questions. One, you know, of course, there's no guarantee, but it sounds like there's a lot of money, a desire to give the money away. So there's a pretty good shot that these folks could get funded. Is that kind of a fair, open, optimistic statement?
Yeah, I think if their project is eligible, I think that there's a pretty darn good chance that they're going to get funded. I mean, I think we have I would say to apply under 4562, we have about $31.4 million in federal funds remaining. So we have a good chunk of change, and we might get more. So We're kind of encouraging everybody to just put in projects, you know, if they see that it might be a need in the future. So, yes.
Okay. So whenever the funding is awarded, nothing before that can take place.
So nothing groundbreaking, like any construction, any moving soil can start before you get awarded. However, there are pre-award costs that you can put into your sub-application for any evaluations, any assessments, any of that kind of.
What about engineering design to get
yeah, going yeah. on the any top? Of that stuff that anything that's not just anything that's not like actually moving soil or building things.
So let's just say the award is 18 months from now. We're just putting a date out there. So 18 months from now would be the award, but we could put in some preliminary costs and start the design. If we do the pre-application, then you said here in 2 or 3 months, it's the approval of another, is it at that point that theoretically they could start design and be ready to proceed in that?
Actually, the timeline is from the emergency declaration. And so any planning work, which would include pre-design from the emergency declaration timeframe, would be eligible for pre-award costs. And so you just have to identify upfront in your pre-application what those pre-award costs are. You know, so if you had done some preliminary engineering and it's leading into this mitigation project, you can identify what that is and then what your expected costs are going to be up to and to the point of award. You just have to specifically identify them as pre-award.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know the chief deputy official at the FEMA Joint Operations Center here in Salem for the fires has repeatedly said he wants to squeeze every red cent he can out of the federal government and get it back to Oregon. So they are motivated to get these funds out to Oregon. But like Anna said, what we kind of run into at OEM is it's not a employment application, if you would. It is a very intense application and we need very specifics to be in there. And like you said, Tim, it's that to open that dialogue with the FEMA people to for them to really understand what the project is and then to get the funds flowing. And unfortunately, at the government, it takes a little while.
And I had a conversation with Melissa Murphy the other day, and she was talking about the Special Public Works Fund and some other funds that are not grant fund, but can provide very low interest loans to help organizations bridge those pre-award costs, knowing that, hey, you know, a small district like Otter Rock Water District doesn't have the resources to be able to pay for that engineering up front to be prepared for that project to be successful at the point in which that award is made. And so you need to borrow some money. And so at 0% interest is literally what she said. They would loan those funds with the understanding that those pre-award costs would cover the cost of that loan. And so, you know, having a good gist about the success of a FEMA mitigation grant will then help inform future discussions with Melissa Murphy or whomever or other agencies to be able to provide that bridge funding to help get that project off the ground.
Yeah.
I have another timeline question. Is there a time when you have to have the project totally completed?
Yes. So it is 3 years. So a period of performance is 3 years after
the award.
There's like so many dates. So,
I know.
When the sub applications are due from the state to FEMA, that's this December. So 3 years after that. So the current period of performance for 4562 is December 14th, 2024. However, we can put in requests for extension on that POP. So then we put in for a year. Every time you request, you can put in for a year. The first one's kind of easy to get. The second one's a little harder because it has to go to FEMA headquarters in DC. And it's a little bit harder for them to approve it. But there is a little bit of wiggle. That's just to say there's a little bit of wiggle room in that end date.
That's where the pre-award costs are so important, because if you wait start design until you get the award, there's literally only 18 months between when you have to start design, get your design done, get it bid, awarded, constructed, and done. And it is a tight window. We've had to do at least a couple extensions in passed on projects because of that. And it's better if you can to cash flow that design ahead of time and then go as soon as you get the word go. And then you have a year and a half to construct and finalize and everything else. Because the paperwork is pretty onerous when you're doing reimbursements and you have to do your final closeouts and things. And so it takes some time. And that's all within that.
Yeah. And I know we had one county that was butting up on a timeline, so they continued through their project. Problem was is that the grant specifically said you cannot do anything during flood season, and we're in flood season. So we had to go to FEMA and go, yeah, the county kind of blew through that part. We're trying to work with them, and FEMA was able to say, you know what, you're so far into the project, just go ahead and get it done, we'll make an exception. So again, read the grant. It is a contract, if you would, but as Anna and I both said, there is some wiggle room as long as we're just upfront with FEMA and just go, hey, this is what we got to do and this is what we need to get it done, and they'll work with us.
Anna or Stephen, would it fall under some kind of disqualification as far as groundbreaking goes? If, because we know we have to do this chlorination system, that's going to technically be breaking ground. It's new to us, and it's in the same location where our main line is and our reservoirs are. Could going ahead with that project be a disqualification in some strange way?
I don't know. I think that was a question I would need to go ask FEMA about to give you any. I don't want to give you an answer that is completely not based on any information. So I would have to go ask FEMA about that, unless Stephen has any thoughts about that.
But if we didn't include it in the plans, I mean, we've got separate plans already in progress for this, and it should be done fairly relatively soon, I would guess, by fall or so.
I would run that one up through the FEMA poll just here. I mean, you guys have to do it, so it's got to be done now, but you know that you're maybe wanting to mitigate that in the future. Again, maybe that cost analysis, we would have to run that up to them and see what they say.
What would it take to get you all to do that for us?
Just a click of a mouse, really. I can do it right after this meeting. I can set it up to FEMA and ask them.
Okay. Yeah. Board members, do you want to talk about that separately before we would give that directive?
You know, if I can interject for a moment, I wouldn't be that concerned with the chlorination system because that has to do with disinfection and not flow or pressure. It's really, you know, the idea of the hazard mitigation grant program is not to prevent you from operating your system, which is really what you're doing with that. You know, it's a water system as a whole, and you're taking bits of that system and looking at expanding that for the purpose of mitigation. So, you know, building the tank or putting in a bigger pipe or modifying and making the tank higher for the purpose of pressure, you know, those are concrete construction activities that you would take for the purposes of your mitigation grant. You know, so for example, if you went out there and you were putting in, you know, the chlorination system and you're like, hey, well, we're putting in the chlorination system, it's cheap for us to put in the foundation now for the tank. And I know that's a little bit out there, but that would be groundbreaking activity because it is not a chlorination system. It's something completely separate that you identified in your grant application as something that you were going to do as part of that project. And so it's quite distinct because within your application, you're very specific about what you're proposing to do for the purpose of mitigation. So if you have an 8-inch pipe and you want to make it a 12-inch pipe to add more fire flow, if that 8-inch pipe breaks, you can still go and fix that 8-inch pipe. But if you decide, well, it broke, so I'm going to go and I'm going to replace it with 12-inch right now and expect for it to be paid for under the mitigation grant, that's foul right there. So you can kind of see the difference of what I'm talking about here. And it's not too hard to be distinct about that because, you know, it's literally bricks and mortar you're putting in the ground. And so it's pretty easy to differentiate between those.
Yeah, I have to say personally, I view the chlorination facility as its own project. It's going to have its own timeline. the timeline is going to be a lot shorter than any of the rest of this.
Way shorter, I think. Yeah.
And that, and like Tim said, that's just more of a maintenance thing than a project, FEMA project thing. That's just something, that's something you got to do today.
Right.
Is there, yeah. Yeah. How would you, forgive me, I don't know much about water systems, but is there like a mitigating factor that you, for in the future, you wouldn't have to chlorinate?
No, it's, okay. We previously have not been chlorinating, and now the OHA says we have to start treating the water. We have spring water that hasn't been treated before, but now we have to.
Okay, so it's just like a yearly maintenance then? Or
no, it'd be ongoing chlorination treatment that we haven't had to do previously.
But we will have to do
continuously from now on. Yes.
Got it. So with those requirements, there weren't any options for funding with those requirements that they gave you?
We haven't heard a formal response yet, have we?
We're still waiting to hear what they're going to decide to do with the deadline, as far as I know. We got the directive from the Oregon Health Authority that we needed to start chlorinating, and there was no proffer of funding to go with that. So,
Sorry, I took us off track, but I was just curious. I feel like there, anyways.
Should we be asking them for some financial assistance?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they're requiring it, then I mean, I don't think it's totally out of left field or, you know, outside the bounds of what you can ask them to say, hey, because you're requiring this, do you know of anything that can help support this in our community? So that's just where my mind goes, but.
I like the way you think.
One thing I'd like to throw out too is we currently have two FEMA teams, or called local hires here, helping Anna and I out, especially with all of the fire stuff that's going on. And as follow-up, we can assign one of these teams to kind of assist you in that technical piece and kind of assist in the grant writing and so forth. I mean, that's kind of what they're here for, is answer some of those questions on how and what are needed. Each team is led by a FEMA reservist, so it's not just people that they just gathered. And they've been, like I said, primarily assigned to us at OEM as FEMA mitigation assistance people under Anna. So let her know, and she can get you in touch with one of the teams to kind of walk you through that process.
Okay, so they'll actually help with grant writing, with the pre-application writing?
So they can help with they can help with the pre-application and the sub-application, and any technical assistance. They are here to provide technical assistance. So any questions you might have, we can assign them to you, so you can go to them for those specific questions.
And is there a cost to that service?
Nope.
Oh,
we like that.
So have we covered Lisa's questions, Pat?
I think that's both of our questions, yes.
Okay, great. Buzz, do you have any questions?
Nope.
Dan?
I think you all have answered the questions that I had. This is very, very helpful.
It's encouraging.
I think the good news is there's money out there, and let's go get it.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Why would we not?
So Anna, do you have a way of providing how the district can get a hold of that technical resource that you're just referencing? Email?
Yeah. Let me know. I know Patricia has my email, but for the rest of you, I don't know who's gonna be my point of contact, but the email, you can just you can email it to shmo@mil.state.or.us. And you can just send a request there, and we'll get one assigned to you all.
Great.
Would you repeat that?
mil.
Okay.
State.
Or US. Okay.
Yeah.
to change my email to Schmo, but they already took it.
I know, isn't it a great title?
So, and then did you want me to go up to FEMA and ask them about the special water district, the National Hazard Mitigation Plan in Lincoln County? Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, we don't want to go down a road that we're going to find out that we're uneligible. And so, you know, as I'm flipping through the program, you know, it's pretty specific about water districts for seismic rehabilitation. But again, the question about, you know, a lot of what we're trying to accomplish here is for fire protection. So,
And then, so I have, like I said, my POC has been Patricia. Is there a different email that you want me to use, or should I just go through Patricia?
That's fine.
Well, I think it's efficient to just throw Tim on the list too.
Tim on there. Okay. Tim, what's your email?
It's TGROSS at civilwest.net.
Civilwest.net.
N-E-T.
Got it. Okay. I'll let throw you on that as well. Did you want me to just do a general inquiry with FEMA about the chlorinating, or what happens if something happens prior to getting funding, and then how to rework your application, or if that's disqualifying, or how that kind of whole thing works, or should we hold off with that?
Not sure if chlorination will be part of the big.
Yeah, okay. I would say it's not. It's not part of the other. It's a separate thing.
Okay.
We'll get back with you if that changes.
Okay, that works.
That sounds good.
Awesome. Was there anything else that you wanted me to bring to FEMA while I'm going to be talking to him later?
Okay. I can't think of anything at the moment.
Okay.
Just tell them we're wonderful, deserving.
Tell them we want to really help them unload all that money they have.
We think the world of them. Yes. Okay, great.
It might be helpful to mention to them that we have, 149 ratepayers to pay for a $3.5 million project.
You have 49 what?
Benefit analysis very much. They won't
care. That will not help with the cost.
Would actually have some ideas on how we might be able to improve that based on some requests that you guys have made in the past. And so that's a discussion we can have at another time, and how we might be able to make the cost benefit analysis as favorable as possible based on several things we could look at. So.
Well, thank you both for attending.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Glad I could be helpful. And looking forward to seeing that pre-application.
Thank you, Anna.
Awesome. Thank you. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, great. Well, we are done at 2:59 on my clock.
All right.
So
stop recording.
Stop recording. We are adjourned.